We've come to the 10th chapter and at verse 17 to the return of the 70 from their evangelical mission. And they come back to Jesus with all the good things that have been happening while they were preaching in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 17. The 70 returned from their mission with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I was watching Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babies. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word and grant us an understanding of it. The theme of these verses, which we read today from Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 22, is causes for rejoicing, or reasons to be glad. And you may have noticed that the words joy and rejoice occur four times in these verses. You find the word joy in verse 17. The 70 return with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." You find the word rejoice twice in verse 20. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And the word rejoice occurs again in verse 21. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. The theme is causes for rejoicing, or reasons to be glad. And the background to these words is the return of the 70 from their mission. You may recall that in the opening verses of chapter 10, we read of how Jesus sent these 70 men out to preach the gospel. And after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come. And it seems that that mission had been immensely successful. The gospel had been preached. The lepers had been cleansed. The sick had been healed and restored. And what was even more remarkable, the world of the demonic had been subject to the 70. That vast, sinister world of evil had been put under the feet of the 70. And so they come back, and in verse 17 we read, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus was thrilled with all of that. As he watched the men preaching and the success of the mission and the triumphs of the gospel, Jesus knew that he was watching the downfall and the disintegration of the empire of evil. That's the meaning of verse 18. Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan falling like lightning. Even as he watched the mission, he saw Satan and his kingdom coming down. The disciples were glad. And Jesus was glad. And it was at that point that Jesus interjected this word of caution. And he said in verse 20, Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't rejoice and be glad, first of all, because God is using you in his service. After all, success in Christian work is not the ultimate cause of true rejoicing. The ultimate cause of true rejoicing is the appearance of your name in the book of life. And so the ultimate question is not, is God blessing my life? Or am I being used by God? Or am I active in Christian service? These are not the ultimate questions. The ultimate question is my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And I have been astonished at just how much the Bible has to say about this book in heaven with the names written in it. I'd like to read one or two of these passages to you. It's first mentioned in the Bible in connection with Moses. And remember, Moses lived 1,200 years before the birth of Christ. And Moses speaks about the book of God in Genesis chapter 32. Listen to these words. The story runs like this. True to form, Israel had started worshipping false gods. And God swore to blot out the nation from his book. And he said to Moses, I'm finished with that lot. I'm washing my hands of them. And I'm going to start with you and make you a second Abraham. And I'm going to build a new nation starting with you. And Moses began to pray to God and to intercede for the nation. And he set himself between the anger of God and the people. And this is what he says in Exodus chapter 32. And at verse 31, Moses returned to the Lord and said, Alas, this people have sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. And then in verse 32, you get a broken sentence. It's bad grammar. And it's almost as though Moses breaks down in the middle of the prayer. But now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, dash. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. But the Lord said to Moses, Whoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And what Moses was saying was this, God, take my name out of your book. Let me be damned and consigned to perdition. But let the name of Israel stand in your book. Let the nation be saved. I'm prepared to have my name rubbed out, and I'm prepared to be damned if only the nation survives. And the message is that to be in the book of God is to be saved. And not to be in the book of God is not to be saved. 200 years after Moses, around 1000 BC, David had the same vision of the book of God. But this time, it's not called the book of God. It's called the book of the living and the roll of the righteous. And listen to these words from the 69th Psalm. David is speaking about people who set themselves implacably against God. Not just a casual rebellion, but an implacable defiance of God. This is what David says in the 69th Psalm and the 28th verse. He says, Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and let them not be enrolled among the righteous. The book of the living, the roll of the righteous. And the message is to have your name in the book of God is to be among the living and to be enrolled among the righteous. 300 years after King David, the prophet Isaiah had a vision of the same book, but this time it's not called the Book of God or the Book of the Living or the Roll of the Righteous. It's called the Record of Life. And this is what Isaiah says in chapter 4 and verse 3 of his prophecy, one of the great verses of Scripture. He who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. And a great phrase, recorded for life in Jerusalem. And that's what it means to be a Christian, to be recorded for life in Jerusalem, and to have your name written down as belonging to God. As another prophet said, they shall be mine in the day that I make up my jewels. They shall be mine. 700 years after Isaiah, the Apostle John, banished to the island of Patmos, had a vision of the same book. And at this time, it's not the Book of God or the Book of the Living or the Roll of the Righteous or the Record of Life. It's called the Book of Life. And he has two visions of this Book of Life. First of all, in Revelation chapter 3, it's Christ who's speaking. He who conquers shall be clad thus in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the Book of Life. I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. And the message is, if your name is in the Book of God, you are numbered among the living, and Christ will confess your name before the Father in heaven. And in Revelation 20, by far the most solemn and the most serious reference to the Book of God, in his vision of the last judgment, John writes, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And if any man's name was not found in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And Jesus says to the 70, that is the thing to place your confidence and your hope in. Not Christian service and not success in Christian things. Lord, even the spirits are subject to us in your name. Jesus says, rejoice, not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that is the true cause for rejoicing. And that is the real reason to be glad, that before the world was made, God wrote your name down in a book. And that's great theology. And as well as being great theology, if I may say so, it's very good psychology. You see, the trouble about success and about trusting in success is this, that success can be manufactured artificially. Even in the ministry, it is comparatively easy to be successful. It would be a very simple matter for me to fill this church. I could pack this church to the roof. All you need to do is introduce religious entertainment, special efforts, special concerts, special speakers, big names. And you could have all that with the gospel, but it would be a gospel with a thick covering of ribbons and colored paper and things to make Jesus attractive. And for the 27 years of my ministry, I have set myself against all that kind of superficial success. Success does not interest me. The trouble about that kind of success is when you get the people in, you've still got to tell them what's in the Bible. And you're back to square one. How much better to start with square one and tell them what the Bible says and what the gospel is about. And then at least they won't suspect that you've got them in under false pretenses. If God gives success, good and well. Some ministers are more successful than others, and some churches are more successful than others. Paul said, I sowed, it was his ministry, Apollo watered, that was his ministry, but it was God who gave the increase. The harvest and the success came from God. And if the success comes, hallelujah. But it is required of stewards not that they be found successful, but that they be found faithful. And I would much rather be faithful than successful. I'm impressed by the reply of a famous preacher. Somebody asked him, what's your ambition? And he said, my ambition is to be a faithful Christian. Rejoice not in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Of course, the next question is, how do you know whether your name's written in heaven? How can you be sure that your name is in the Lamb's book of life, in the book of the righteous, the book of the living? How can you know that you have been enrolled for life in Jerusalem? Well, there is an answer. It's found in the next few verses, but I'd rather leave them till next time, if you please. Let me give you this answer today. How do you know whether or not your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you remember the Song of Solomon? It's one of the world's great love stories. There are three characters in it. There's the girl who's being courted, and she's a simple, dark-skinned peasant lass. And she's being wooed by her true love, who's a simple country lad. And she's also being wooed, and in fact tempted, by a false lover who comes and promises perfumes, riches, grandeur, and the poor girl is torn between the two conflicting voices. It's a parable of the church. The girl is the church. The true lover is Christ. And the false lover is Satan. And she can hardly tell the difference between the voices. And over again in the Song of Solomon, almost to reassure herself, but it's a kind of confession of faith, and she says, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. It's important to say it over and over again, because it brings reassurance. Sandy Tate, my friend, when he was a missionary in Nigeria teaching in Etam Secondary School, used to have talks with one of the prison chaplains out there. And the chaplain used to minister to the murderers on death row in Nigeria. And he used to teach them to say, as they went to the gallows, Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. And he would get them to say it over and over and over again. And so the girl in the Song of Solomon says, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. I belong to him, and he belongs to me. Before the universe was conceived, I belong to him, and he belongs to me. And if you can say that from your heart this morning, and if you can say that with conviction this morning, and if you can say that with a clear conscience this morning, then it's very certain that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is the primary cause of rejoicing and the reason for gladness. Do not rejoice in this, says Jesus, that the spirits are subject to you and that you are being used, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. May God add a blessing to the preaching of his holy word. To his name be honor and praise. Now we come to the infant baptism, singing hymn number 29, Now Thank We All Our God.